first giving all praises to God for this, another expression of his goodness and his mercy to allow us to come together one more time. Amen. Let's show some love for these children one more time. Amen. Amen. Many of us can remember our Easter speeches. Amen. I'm mindful of mine. And we also want to thank our Ministry of Music this morning. Amen. Always a blessing when the handbell ensemble featuring Sister Robertson plays. We always look forward to that. We also want to give a shout out to our brother Jordan Clark. Amen. He won the most outstanding or the best bass player at the HBCU Jazz Concert. Amen. 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 So we are truly grateful for what the Lord is doing. We also want to give a special appreciation to those who journeyed with us to New Hope on Good Friday. Amen. It was Ebenezer was well represented. And even though the lunch was free, you had to pay for it with your patience and with your time. And so we're grateful that you was there. We're grateful that the Lord was able to bless us in that event. If you would, we would like to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 16, by the inspiration of God and by the pen of Paul, these words are recorded. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We read into your hearing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. This morning, my little Easter speech goes like this. I believe in Easter. I believe in Easter. Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It celebrates that Sunday morning when he rose from the grave. And I believe that Christ was raised from the dead. Now there are other examples of resurrection in order to help us along the way. There are some resurrections in the Old Testament. Elijah and the widow of Zephani, the Elisha and the Shunammite woman's son. You have the resurrection of Jesus in the New Testament. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus. Son from the widow of Nain, Jesus raised. We have in the book of Acts, we have the Peter raising Dorcas, and Paul, after boring Eutychus to death, he raised him from the dead. So it's not a celebration of resurrection. It is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For you see, his resurrection is unique from the others. One is that in the others, there was always a third person. It was Elijah and the widow's son. It was Elisha and the Shunammite woman's son. It was Jesus and Jairus' daughter. It was Jesus and the young man at Nain. It was Jesus and Lazarus. It was Peter with Dorcas. It was Paul with Eutychus. But there was no one outside that tomb when Jesus was raised from the dead. The power did not come from the outside. The power came from the inside. What's different about Jesus' resurrection is that he was risen just as he said. See, the other people never said that in 3 days they're going to rise again. When Lazarus got sick, he didn't say, don't worry about it, in 3 days I'll rise again. When Eutychus fell out of that window, he said, don't worry about it, I'll rise again. Nobody but Jesus said that if you take my life, in 3 days, I'll rise again. And so we come today, this Easter Sunday, to celebrate a risen Savior. Our Savior is not dead. He is alive, just as he said. And it's interesting, I know may not need to share this with you, but in Corinthians, the church that is most like the American church, they were having trouble with the resurrection. In fact, in this epistle of Paul, in this chapter 15, Paul says, how can some of you say that Christ has not risen from the dead? Paul was not writing to Congress. Paul was not writing to the community. Paul was not writing to the school board. Paul was not writing to the Department of Insurance or Department of Transportation. Paul was writing to the church. And he said, how can some of you say that Christ was not risen from the dead? And then in chapter 15, he gives reasons of why he believed in the resurrection of Christ. See, Paul wanted us to know that there are reasons to believe in the resurrection. Me and my grandson was working on our Easter speech, and I said, I've got three reasons why I believe in Easter. He said, one, I gave him a reason. He said, two, I gave him a reason. He said, three, I gave him a reason. He said, four, I said, hold on, son. Pop, Easter speech can't have no more than 3 points. So. top three reasons why I believe in Easter. In verse 14, Paul says, I know this is outside our scripture lesson, but because I'm a shade tree homiletic professor, I had to touch on it a little bit. In verse 14, Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. Listen, if Christ had not been raised, our preaching wouldn't have no points. Our proclaiming of the gospel would have no meaning. Simply is our preaching would be like a kite with no string. It's just floating out there, nothing to connect it. It would be like a ship without a sail, just floating on the empty sail. But because Christ has risen, we can preach the gospel of Jesus the Christ. A few years ago, there was a movie came out, The Passion of Christ. And many people were shocked by the brutality contained in the movie. However, those that had been in church for a while and had heard the preacher preach, that they hung him high and they spread him wide. They pierced him in his side. We heard the preacher preach that he died one Friday. And early one Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. We heard the preacher preach. And so when the movie came out, it didn't disturb us. It didn't disturb those that had already heard the gospel, because we knew that he had been crucified for our sin and has been raised for our justification. Listen, it's through the preaching. And why Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto the salvation to everyone that believes. It only takes a wise God to take the foolishness of preaching to change a man's heart. Oh, yes, I believe in Easter because I believe in the inspirational and the motivational power of preaching. Preaching will prick your heart. Preaching will change your lifestyle. Preaching will change your mind, change your direction. Preaching can change your life. Paul said, because of the resurrection, we can believe and we can preach the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Oh, yes, one of the good reasons that I believe in Easter is because I believe in preaching. And I know that might be a little personal right here. Think it's only I that preach, but I remember one of my most poignant sermon, the sermon that pricked my heart. It happened on one Sunday morning. I was in the bathroom getting dressed for church, and my mother came in the room and turned off the light and told me, come on, it's time to go. Whatever you were doing, tell it's over with. It's finished. It's done. Time to go. And I flicked the light back on, you know. And I heard my mama preaching. Don't you ever turn on the light that I just turned off. Now I cleaned that up for this service, but preaching will change your life. Preaching will change your direction. Preaching will change your mind. And Paul told the Corinthians, if Christ had not been risen, our preaching would be pointless. So one reason that I believe in Easter is because I believe in the power of God unto salvation in preaching. But my second reason why I believe in Easter is because of faith. I believe in Easter because of faith. Right here in the text, Paul again talks about if Christ be not risen. In verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. See, our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith is our currency in heaven. If you want to get anything done from heaven, faith is the currency. Heaven don't take bitcoins. Heaven don't take gold. Heaven don't take silver. It don't take dollar bills. Heaven takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Paul said, without the resurrection, then our faith would be futile. There'll be nothing to attach us to heaven. There'll be no reason to trust in God. There will be no purpose in believing in God. But because Jesus has been risen from the dead, I can believe. I can keep the faith. And did you know there's a lot of things in this world that are temporary, but there are three things that are eternal: faith, hope, and love. Those three things abide forever. See, when your money runs out, you can keep your faith. When your health runs out, you can keep your faith. When your time runs out, you can still hold on to your faith. We will forever and for always be a people of faith. Even when we die and go to heaven, we will still relate to God by faith. I know some people want to know everything. They want to know everything about everybody. They want to know what everybody is doing all the time. But you ain't gonna learn everything.
You ain't gonna know everything. You ain't gonna know what the government doing, what they not telling us, what the media telling us, and what not telling us. But by our faith, oh, I can keep pressing forward. By my faith, I can see the Lord bringing us through. By our faith, I can see what the world meant for evil, God can turn it to good. By my faith. Oh, that's why I believe in Easter. I believe in Easter because of the power of preaching. I believe in Easter because of the power of faith. Faith will keep you when everything else will let you go. Faith will hold on to you. Faith will make you, help you get through the night. Faith will carry you on. I believe in Easter because of the power of preaching, and believe in Easter because of the power of faith. But thirdly, I believe in Easter because of hope. You know, a lot of people sleep on hope. They put hope in the category of good luck, you know, wishful thinking, you know. But people sleep on hope. See, hope outlasts your knowledge. You know, I know when I went to school, when I went to college, I learned business administration, and I wasn't top of my class, but I did graduate in my class. I stayed. You know, my daughter graduated cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. I grabbed mine on the go. You can put mine on the in the drive-through. I just grabbed mine and keep going. But we learned this management by objectives, where you go to the people, ask them what they want to do, and then you manage them based on what they say, what they want to do. And I stayed with it and got all the, made all the tests, took all the tests, passed all the tests. As soon as I graduated and came in the workforce, I learned a very important lesson, and that is people care more about their job than they care about your business. People care more about their own livelihood than they care about companies' bottom line, which means they always gonna make their objective less than what you need for the company to grow. So everything I learned in college was obsolete by the time I got my first job. And that's the way it is with knowledge. Knowledge will always be fading. Knowledge will always be changed. That's why I built my hope on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Build it on him. See, hope means that tomorrow's gonna get better. No matter how bad it looks today, if I just hold on till tomorrow, even if tomorrow I get worse news, I hold on because the hope says tomorrow is going to get better. No matter what I go through, I know that tomorrow is going to get better. You say if you get sick, it's going to get better. If you die, it surely is going to get better because I have hope in the resurrection. Hope help keeps us alive. You know, Jesse Jackson had that famous quote, keep hope alive. But hope keeps us alive. Hope keeps us pressing forward. Even when we have to be embarrassed, hope keeps us going forward. Even when we have to swallow our tongue, hope keeps us going. Even when we are misunderstood, hope keeps us going. Yes, our hope is built on the righteousness of Christ. A former president wrote a book, The Audacity of Hope. And he says, hope is not built on blind optimism. It's not ignoring the enormity of the task ahead or the roadblocks that stand in our path. It's not sitting on the sidelines or shrinking from a fight. Hope is that thing inside us that insists, despite all evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us. If we have the courage to reach for it and to work for it and to fight for it, hope is the belief that destiny will not be written for us, but by us, by the men and women who are content to settle for the world as it is, who have the courage to remake the world as it should be. The power in hope. Many of us are here today because of the power of our ancestors' hope. They hope for a better education. They hope for a better home. They hope for a better chance. And many of us living on the hope that they have. And that's why it's my hope today that these babies that had their little Easter speeches will one day be standing in this very same church and sharing the good news of Jesus the Christ. That is our hope. That is our prayer. These verses highlight the central role of resurrection in the Christian faith, emphasizing that the resurrection is the foundation of our preaching, is the foundation of our faith, and the foundation of our hope. We live in a world just like the world in which the Corinthians live, and they want to take away our belief in the resurrection. They want to point out how, look over there, there's no evidence of it. But one thing I like about gardening, when you understand some gardening principles, you understand how you can put a dead seed into the ground. Put it in the ground, and if you water it and take care of it, make sure bugs and weeds don't attack it, that dead seed will come to life again. And that dead seed will grow and break the soil. And it'll grow and bear its own leaves, bear its own flowers, and one day hopefully bear its own fruit and its own seeds. See, our past is our roots to our future. The seeds and the fruits is our future. And we don't quit, no matter how hard the road is. The road we trod may seem all uphill, but hope presses us forward. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, I believe. I believe in Easter. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that one day he's coming back. And he's coming back for all those who believe. Believe the old story. He died on Friday. He was crucified between two thieves. But early that Sunday morning, not just this Sunday morning, we celebrate a risen Savior every Sunday morning. This is just our big Easter. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate a little Easter, a smaller Easter. But every Sunday, we gather in this place to celebrate Easter, to celebrate a risen Savior. He lives today. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I believe in Easter. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. Whomsoever will, the ushers and deacons come, we invite you. If you're watching us virtually, we ask that you put a word in the comments. Don't wait till you get all the answers. Come to Jesus right now.